Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 7, and I would like to have you read from verse 34 down to verse 38, and I want to speak to you about God's mediator.
Imaka 34, kulekeza 38, tikakhala tikulankhula za Mulungu amene ndi mkhala pakati. Mulungu amene ndi mkhala pakati, amene adakhala pakati pathu. 34. Kuona, ndaona choyipidwa nacho anthu anga alemwe. Ndipo ndamva kubuwula kwawo. Ndipo ndasika kuwalandira. Ndipo tsopano tiye kuno, ndikutume ku Aigupto. Mose uyu amene anamkana ndikuti wakuika iwe ndani mkulu ndi woweruza ameneyo Mulungu anamtuma akhale mkulu ndi momboro ndi dzanja la mngelo womuonekera pa chisamo. 36. Ameneyo adawatsogolera natuma nawo atachita zozizwa ndi zizindikiro ku Igupto ndi mnyanja yofunga ndi mchipululu zaka makumi anayi. 40. 57. Uyu ndi Mose uja anati kwa Israel, Mulungu adzakudzirani mneneri wa mwa abale anu monga ine. 78. Uyu ndiye amene anali muivu pa mpingo mchipulu pamodzi ndi mngelo wakulankhula naye mphiri la Sinai. Ndi makolo athu amene analandira maneno a Mulungu akutipatsa ife.
Now, one thing that is clear is that there would be no need for a mediator were there not a conflict. Everything that we see in the world right now by way of conflict and trouble and wars and misunderstandings is due to the fall. Before Adam and Eve fell, there was no need for a mediator. God spoke directly with them and there was perfect fellowship and harmony. But the scriptures say by one man, sin. And that word sin means opposition. It means rebellion. Transgression entered into the world. And by that sin, death passed upon all men. You stop and think about the different types of death. There's physical death, where people get sick and die. If there were not sin, there would not be death. And if there weren't sin, there would not be sickness. All of this is the effect of the fall. But you stop and think about sickness. When we become ill, we look for a mediator. We look for one who's called a doctor who can intervene and help us. That's the concept of a mediator. We would not need a mediator were we not sick. So there's physical death, but there's also spiritual death. Before the fall, had there not been a fall, Adam and Eve would have lived forever in a perfect body. They would not have known physical death. And you remember how Satan deceived Eve and also Adam willingly submitted in saying that God knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, you will be like Him. And you remember, he said, hath God said that if you eat, you shall surely die. Satan contradicted the word of God in saying, you will not surely die. Now some would argue that when they partook, they didn't die. In fact, Adam and Eve lived for several hundred years after that. But there was a death that occurred immediately, and that was spiritual death. And the reason we know that is that when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, Genesis 3:7 says immediately their eyes both were opened, and it says they knew that they were naked. In other words, they had to begin to deal with guilt. They had to begin to deal with fear. All of these senses that they had not known until they fell. And here's where we see, even in that fallen state, a sense of a need of a mediator or a covering, because it says there that they immediately set about what? Sewing fig leaves together and making themselves aprons. Now here we see the wisdom of God, because He foresaw and saw all of this, and yet He did not intervene until they had finished. Why were they in such a hurry to sew these fig leaves together? It's because to that point, They had enjoyed perfect communion with God, but now in their conscience, they knew there was a separation. And so from that point forward, they understood that there had to be some sort of go-between. That's what the word mediator means, a go-between. For them, the go-between was these aprons of fig leaves that they'd sewed together, the works of their own hands. Even people in religions around the world that don't know the truth, still there's a sense of sin, there's a sense of judgment, and there's a sense of a need of some go-between. The problem is, just like Adam and Eve, left in the darkness of their minds, they're always going to choose the wrong mediator. So here's where we see the truth as set forth in all of Scripture, and just as it says in 1 Timothy that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, one go-between. And right from the fall, God then began to show through types and pictures and prophecy how the Lord Jesus Christ is that mediator. And the example is given right here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, where it says, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." In other words, he took away the works of their hands, the fig leaves that they had sewn together, and he gives them now a covering that is representative of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come thousands of years later to lay down his life and be that sacrifice, be that ransom for the sin of his people. Now remember here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching to people that had an understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. They had the scriptures. But they're like so many today, and even like Adam and Eve, before God revealed unto them the true mediator through the shedding of the blood of those innocent animals, like many today, they continue to hold on to their aprons of fig leaves that they have sewn together, the works of their own hands. And what Stephen is showing them is that their refusal to bow to this one whom God has established to be the mediator, the savior of his people, their refusal to bow is the same spirit that was in those children of Israel, their forefathers, when they refused to hear Moses. And yet what we know is that in spite of the hardness of sinners' hearts, God is going to get his work done. We know that by our own case. We don't have to look elsewhere. If God has been pleased to save a sinner such as I am, then I know that there is no case too hard for God. I read a story one time about a town drunkard. This man was known just to be found in the streets lying face down because of drunkenness. And through the preaching of the gospel of a preacher in that town, this drunkard, the Lord was pleased to convert to Christ. And from that point forward, rather than being found face down in the dirt and the mire because of drunkenness, he was found flat on his face at Christ's feet, worshiping Christ alone. And one day there was a member of the congregation that was speaking to the preacher and said to the preacher, "Isn't it amazing of God's grace in saving that drunkard?" And the preacher, the Lord enabled to answer in wisdom when he said, "Ever since God saved me. I've never been surprised about how he has saved anybody else. It takes the same God to save by his grace alone. And that's the reality of the Word of God that we read from Genesis all the way to Revelation is not only how God saves, but who does the saving. This is of God. It's His work alone through His Son, Jesus Christ, alone, period. And that's what we see here in this portion that we've read in Acts 7, verses 34 to 39, how it is that God saves a people through His mediator. This is God's mediator. And that's what we see in verse 34. Notice, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. That's where salvation begins. It's not in us seeing God. It's in Him having seen us in our affliction. Isn't that the testimony of any sinner whom God has saved? It's not me having seen Him. It's Him having seen me in mercy and grace. And that from eternity. So many people today talking about how they have seen Christ or they have seen His death or His blood. When God delivered Israel from Egypt and they put that blood on the lintels of the doorposts, it was put on the outside of the house. It wasn't on the inside where those that were inside could see it. No, it was on the outside where they couldn't see it. But God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's God seeing the blood. See, that's the difference between man's testimony and God's. Whenever you hear somebody talking about I, me, and my, They've never had their eyes open. They're still blind. They're feeling around like a blind man, trying to testify. See, when people ask me, when was I saved? Well, I was saved when God saw me in Christ and took my sin and laid it to His account, and He saw the blood. I just found out about it afterwards, but it was when He saw the blood. If you want to stop the mouths of some of these people that are standing up and professing to be saved, just bring this point out to them. When they say to you, well, when did you get saved, is the way they like to use that term, but we don't get saved. Salvation isn't something we get. Salvation is something God gives, you see, but He does it through His mediator. He does it through the work of His Son. He does it through His righteousness and shed blood alone. See, write down this reference in Exodus chapter 12 and verses 12 and through 14. When the Lord said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the little G-O-D-S gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And He says, and the blood on those doorposts, that means killing an innocent victim, just like God did there in the garden for Adam and Eve, that blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. See, it wasn't on every house, but on the houses of where you are, that's the ones that God Himself purposed to deliver. And notice, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It's God that makes the difference.
Kwa inuyo, pamene ndiwona kwa ziwo, ndidzapitilira inu, Ndipo sipadzakhala mliri wakuwonongani, wakukanthani, wakukantha ine dziko la Igupto. Kuna ndizo kuti Mulungu amene adaona mwazi kumene kunapakhidwa, ifenso tidaone mwazi petinali mkati, ife wokola ndi chikumbutso, mwazi tidzikola kuti mwapulumuka tulukani kambirani. Ndi zimene zinachitika yawo.
You see, today, if you turn on the news, people are being encouraged everywhere in the world to protest, to march, to overthrow the government, to do something to make their situation better. And men keep doing that, and they keep finding new leaders that make new promises, and they end up in the same bondage as they were in even before it all started. Here's Israel. They've spent over 400 years in bondage, and it's getting worse and worse. As Stephen said, the Lord had heard their groaning. That's the cries of people that are at the end of themselves, unable to do anything. And yet we don't find the Lord saying to them, well, now it's time to take to the streets, Israel. It's time to protest. It's time to overthrow the government. And I'm going to give you a deliverer in the person of Moses to help you. That's not what he said. No, God purposed to deliver them with a high hand in a way that the Egyptians could never see coming. And it was through a Passover lamb. You see, with all the plagues that took place in Egypt, still, it wasn't because of those plagues that God delivered the people, but it was through this Passover lamb, when the death angel went through the land and killed every firstborn. And yet, for the children of Israel, their firstborn was spared. You say, well, why? Well, it's because God has His firstborn that was represented in that lamb that should die, and He would send him in the fullness of time. But for now, it was the lamb that was slain as a picture of what God would do many thousands of years later to save a people. It was the same in the time when our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. The Jews were in suppression. They were in under the hand of the Roman government, and they were looking for a Messiah to come and overthrow that government. There were many political zealots, even in their congregations, waiting for this, and they supposed that the Lord Jesus would be that one to lead that overthrow. But he said, "My kingdom's not of this world." That's not why he came. But he came to lay down his life that he might satisfy his Father by his shed blood to save not just physically but eternally a people to the glory of his Father. Let me just take this opportunity to speak to you preachers there, even as I am reminded here with everything going on in politics today, that our place is not to preach politics. We're not to have, people do not come to have us talk to them about how they can find deliverance and peace and prosperity. No, our one message is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to show how God is pleased to save sinners by His grace in Him. That's an eternal matter. It's not anything temporal. That's eternal. So here it is, we find even with Stephen in that example, as much as what was wrong, we don't find him defending himself before these religious people. He's doing one thing, and that is pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, using the example of Moses as the mediator. But even as in the rest of Scripture, so here in Acts 7:34, we see Stephen showing how it is that God saves. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. This is the Lord speaking when he says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning. Now watch it. Here it is. And am come down to deliver them. Salvation is in God coming down to the sinner to deliver.
Ama upi ni sababu ndi mulungu mwini jeje yosa mega mulungu yekabasi
Now here's where we need to pay attention, because it's right here in verse 34. How has God come down to deliver his people? That's the question. Did he come down in the form of an angel? See, there's a lot of fascination today with angels, but that's not how God delivers his people. Did God come down in the form of a spirit where he was just mystically going through the land and making people feel better? Like you hear preaching today, there's a spirit in this place. No, he came to deliver through a man. That's what this verse says, verse 34. And come down to deliver them. And then he says to Moses, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. See, this is the very point that Stephen is making with these religious Pharisees, these religious leaders, and showing them that this very one, Jesus of Nazareth, that they refused and that they opposed and that they accused of having changed the customs which Moses had delivered to them, he's showing them that that is God in the flesh. That's how God came down to deliver. You see, this is why people today miss God's salvation left to themselves. And we would have. We would be just as blind. We'd be feeling around ourselves, looking to some experience or looking to some feeling or looking to some work of our flesh, something other than this one man that God has sent to save his people. Look how the Lord directed Paul to write this to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. You We know this scripture, but look at what it's saying. It says there is one God, and there is one mediator, notice, between God and men, and then it says the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. In other words, all kinds of sinners to be testified in due time. The man, Christ Jesus. There's no other salvation than but through him. The reason that people miss salvation today is because, left to themselves, they're not looking to Christ alone. They're not seeing how God has purposed and has saved a people through this man, Jesus Christ, alone. They're looking everywhere else. They're looking to an experience. They're looking to a ceremony. They're looking to a preacher. They're looking to feelings, but not to Christ. Look how the writer to the Hebrews put it in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. Says, for as much then as the children, that is, those children that God chose from eternity, are partakers of flesh and blood. That's all we are, flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he became flesh and blood, that through what? Death. There's the Passover lamb, the blood. He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And notice, here's the word, deliver them. Just like God said, I've come down to deliver. That was a picture of what he would do thousands of years later. And notice, he said, I am come down. So this man is none other than God in the flesh to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Go ahead and read that part and then we'll continue.
Kuti apereke dipo la zoiva zaa. Unataka adafana na deep fail, ulipo kufana na deep fail, adafana na deep fail, itoochi, mwagulaka ni kukumusa, kati yotire chimu, limene nana. 18. Pakuti poteza adam vazowawa. Yesu ya adam kutika, vazowawa. Poyese kwa ye ka. Anizuzika ye ka, mwosa chandisa na demu tuminari yese. Akoza kutandisa iwo, amene ayesewa. Ama chandisa ukawa, amene kune ikibilagi, unakoza kukurumu tiba. Yesu yo.
So you can see there, verse 16, he didn't take on him the nature of angels. When he said, I am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt, he purposed to deliver through a man. And Moses, as a man, represented Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh.
Tikumva kuti Yesu mwini adatsika monga munthu kulaba pano musea musaiwale ngaimene kuli chikuru chachikulu chimene chidali ku Igupto pomwe kwadabwisa chipo munthu kose kutagumutse anthu machimo awo chimene Mose chili cha mbuye Yesu Kristu abwera mthupi kutagumutse munthu ku chifundo cha uchimo chimene anali Anaisraeli chifundo chimene anali kunjira za munthu kapolo ku Igupto. Ife, isikuro cha uchimo chimene chili ndipe anali kukuza Mose chithu chithu cha mbuye Yesu.
Now when it says there in verse 16, he took on him the seed of Abraham. Don't think of physical seed, because if that were the case, then it would only be for the Jews. But the seed of Abraham, he took on him that prophetic seed where God said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What it's saying is he is the fulfillment of that prophecy and promise to Abraham.
Ndino mgaona dimenga 16 iyo. Imena kuti pakuti ndithu sala njira angelo koma alandira mbeu ya Abraham. Mukamaya nganaka mati mbeu ya Abraham. Musayangane mthupi. Chipumuka ngane mthupi mbeu ya Abraham na Isaac. Koma iyi ndi mbeu ya kuzimu. Imene kuti wadayilonjeza kwa Abraham kuti mbeu yako. Imene amemira Yesu Kristu. Ndiye Yesu Kristu ndiye mbeu ya Abraham. Amene yoyo amene alekidwa kuti apulumutse anthu ake kumashimo awo.
Now, just like Moses, who was of the people and yet separated from the people, he was sent to them. So Christ, it says in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him, look it, to be made like unto his brethren. That word made means constituted like unto his brethren.
Imenera kuti potero kuti muyenera kufanizidwa ndi abale msosi. Muchiona chithunzi cha Mose poyamba adatsawa. Mupita kwa yekha. Adakhala kuti kuchezekeza mbirimbi. Ndi chionika chiona kuti nthawi imene azika kwera. Akachita munga fanana na awo anthu awawa. Kuti chikhale chithunzi cha Yesu. Amene ali kutala ali kumwamba. Wachoka kumwamba. Uchita kwera ukafana nazo ndi ife anthu. Kuti atipulumutse.
See, here's what many miss in that the way God had preserved Moses and set him apart even from birth, he was not part of this affliction and oppression. He was above it. Just like Christ did not have, when he came to this earth, he was not part of the affliction or the curse of sin. That he was above it. And yet he was sent to identify with those who were part of that affliction and that oppression or the curse of sin. In fact, we can say that Moses, even though identified with these brethren, but from his birth all the way to the point where God sent him to deliver the people of Israel, we have to say that he lived a pretty privileged life. He was royalty. He was raised in Pharaoh's courthouse, in Pharaoh's household. And as if you can imagine how he dressed, he didn't look anything like these brethren. And yet God is sending him now, Moses, to identify with this people in their suffering. That's how Christ came. That's why we read over in Hebrews chapter 11, a little further on in this book, in verses 24 to 26, it says, by faith Moses, in other words, according to that faith that God gave him when he was come to years, notice, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he gave up that position of power and authority, and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he had respect unto that people that God had given him to deliver. That's a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but condescended to come to this earth and take on him the form of a servant and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Coming back here to Hebrews chapter 2, that's why the scriptures are very specific that he was made like unto his brethren. And yet, verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In no way was Christ ever accused of sin. In all of the years that Moses spent with that people of Israel, he, although he identified with them as rebellious sinners, yet he himself did not enter into that rebellion. He was there to represent God. There's a lot more here than what we can cover today, but come back to Acts chapter 7, and I'll just make this one other point here, and that is when God sent Moses to deliver this people, just like when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, to deliver his people, it wasn't to a people who was just willing and waiting and hoping. You see, it says in verse 35 of Acts 7, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel or messenger which appeared to him in the bush.
Chipunga kwenye kujimia katika pani pia wengine kujapuzi. Aule mose wenyu amene ana mkana. Kuna ule mose ada kwenye kwa barua kuraga kupuzi. Muga sio sokrisa ili kupamba kwenye kwa ifukraga kupuzi. Jipuji wapuika iwe ndani uwe uza. Amene yeye mungu Adam chuma akaremu jimombo diza njala mungero wamuonegera bajitamba.
You see, this again is different. The story of Scripture is different than what men preach. Maybe you yourself have preached it, but you certainly have heard others say that God would really like to save you, but He can't unless you let Him. Can you imagine if that had been the message that Moses would deliver to Israel, that God has sent me to save you, but you really have to be willing? Yes, they refused him, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? That they said that same thing to Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us. But God does not wait for men to be willing for Him to do His work. In verse 36, in spite of their rebellion, it says, He brought them out.
Not
But I'll tell you, he brought them out not because of their willingness to come out, but because of God's willingness to bring them out. And that's how any of us are saved. It's because of God's will, God having purposed to save such wretches as we are, and having accomplished the work in sending Christ the mediator to do all that was necessary that God might be just and declare just or righteous everyone for whom Christ paid the debt. That's God's mediator, and Moses understood it, and we'll have to come back to this next time, because verse 37, when it was all said and done, Moses said to, and again, it's that second generation, a whole generation perished in the desert. Here's Deuteronomy, the second generation that God raised up. He said to them, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren. He says, like unto me, him shall ye hear. That's always been the message of Scripture. Salvation isn't in the types or the pictures of Moses. He had no salvation. It was God's salvation, and it was forward-looking to that one, the mediator that God would send, his own son, to deliver his true people. And it says, hear him. Well, we're going to stop there for now. I know there's much, much more that time doesn't allow, but I pray that the Lord will take this word and bring it home to each heart of his children and give us joy in considering this one that he has established as the mediator, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, pictured in Moses.
Amen. Timba nyimbo namba 50.